Just to represent to be authenticity. Who do you see? It's a big week for the arts in Manitoba. Culture Days has arrived across the country, and the Pimiteoan Creator Circle is just getting started in Winnipeg. In today's episode of U-Talk, let's explore the creative arts of theater with two playwrights from the Creator Circle and connect with the Pembina Hills Arts Centre on what Morden, Manitoba has in store for Culture Days. Let's get into it.
My name is Victoria Perry. I'm a Métis Cree playwright, artist, poet, and lawyer. I live here in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and this is my first year being in the Pimiteoan Creators Circle.
Emily, take it away, please.
Hi, I'm Emily. I'm a Métis actor and playwright, creator. This is my first year part of Pimiteoan as a writer, and last year I got to be a part of it as an actor in two of the workshops.
Let's jump right into it. Victoria, love Louis. Tell me a little bit about your show. Like, what's it about and kind of your process of coming up with this idea?
Yeah, so it's Love Louis. It is a play on the life and trial of Louis Riel, and what this play tries to do is imagine Louis Riel's time going through his days while he was at the time of the formation of the government through to the last battle and his days incarcerated during the trial. And so what I was really trying to do with this piece was imagine Louis in a light that I don't know he's been portrayed in before, which is a soft human perspective, really focused on his poetry. And so in my creative process, I have read a lot of books. I feel like I've consumed so much Louis Riel media in the last year, just really seeing what else is out there. And I also read a lot of his poetry, which I incorporate into my show. So many people, I think, don't know that Louis Riel wrote poetry. And so hopefully they'll have the opportunity to come down next week on the 26th and hear some of Louis Riel's poetry as a part of my show.
That's so cool, like being able to take new aspects of history and implement them into a creative work. Wow, that's really fun. Emily, what can you tell me about your project, you know, as a playwright kind of creating this this creative process?
So I've always been really drawn to like fairy tales, myths, especially modern retellings of them or newfangled fairy tales. So my story, The Shape of Paint Water, is about a mermaid who maybe doesn't look like a mermaid, but she is a mermaid. She's actually maybe what we would call like a reverse mermaid. So instead of like a human top and fish body, she's got a fish head and human legs. And she really wants to explore the human world. The human world is slowly going deeper and deeper underwater, which is, you know, you don't have to worry about your own life if you live underwater, but she wants to become a human. So if she's going to be a human and live in the human world, she needs to figure out how to keep the human world from completely going underwater.
Those sound really exciting. So at least for myself, I'm really excited to see what those look like coming next week. How about we go a little bit about the process and the circle? Like when we're talking before, you mentioned about there's workshops and activities and kind of this creative moment of coming together. Emily, how about you tell me a little bit about just your experiences of being involved, getting together with other creative minds?
Yeah, it's been a really special year. I think our group is full of a lot of people who come from like very different backgrounds, like Victoria with her law career and also being a super talented actor and storyteller. I think is so cool that she brings that in, and other people in the group are of like different ages have also been like working in storytelling in different media, like in different mediums for many, many years. And so I think coming together like that and learning from a really different group with different experiences have been really special and like helpful to me, and like seeing other people's processes and how they create and sort of like gleaning what I can from that.
What about you, Victoria? What is your experience has been, especially like, you know, you have so many different hats on, like, you know, a teacher, you're an actor, and you also have that law background. Like, how do those kind of all intertwine into your story making process?
That's a great question. I do have a lot of hats that I wear frequently. I change them often. I really think that they all kind of collide. All of the I guess transferable skills, you could say, that I gained from all of these different hats really collide in this play. So my legal background, I'm able to articulate the courtroom scene in a way that is fairly accurate to how a scene would go in an actual courtroom. I can imagine what that's like. With my acting background, I can imagine different movements for the characters. I can, you know, when I'm writing the play, I was able to put myself in the character's shoes and imagine how I would perform certain pieces of the show. And that would help me understand what would and what would perhaps not work in the show as I was writing it. The educational background, I think, is going to be evident. It's a play that definitely draws on a lot of history. I think I've made it accessible, but there are some larger concepts in there, historical concepts, the Red River Rebellion, obviously, where there's a focus on a trial. So the formation of the Métis government. So there are some complex concepts presented, and I do hope to do a bit of education on how the Métis Nation was formed and kind of the controversies around Louis Riel's arrest.
I think it's just so interesting how, you know, when you picture art, you think of a very specific thing. But the cool thing I think about as you expand in art is that taking different backgrounds, you would never think that a lawyer background would be able to apply within creating a play or some sort of artistic process. And I just think that's the cool thing about art, that you can kind of like take different aspects to create something new and something unique.
So I was actually an artist before I was a lawyer. And
so you've come back. So you started artist, became lawyer. Now you're back to artist
again. Yeah, I mean, I still practice. So I'm a criminal defense lawyer. I still have active law practice. But I did start here. And going from the arts to law, I found was... There's quite a bit of overlap. You know, you in law, you go to the library and you do your research and you write your submissions and you plan your arguments and you sometimes submit documents to the court proving your arguments. And then you come to the courtroom and you argue your case and the judge makes a finding or the jury makes a finding on the outcome of that case. So it's similar to writing a play or building a show in that you'll go and you'll research your topic, you'll write your play, you'll rehearse your play, and you'll bring it to the stage, except for it's kind of the community who decides if you're successful, not the judge or the jury. Are people coming to see your show is I guess, the... What does it in theater? So I really think that there's quite a bit of overlap in the preparation and execution of both of these careers, and which I think is why it's so easy for me to come home to the arts community here.
So how did you two find out about the Creator Circle, and I guess why did you want to get involved, Emily?
So I first found out last year being asked to be in two of the workshops. I got to be part of Cynthia Wolfe Nolan's new play, Non-Machinable, and Elizabeth Denny's play, Blood Sisters. And that's how I got to first like be involved in the festival. And then shortly after, I was asked by Katie German, who's sort of the coordinator for the Creator Circle, if I would like to write in it, which I was like, I've always wanted to write a play. Most of my background is in performing and a bit of like sketch comedy and stuff like that. But the idea of writing a play has been something like, oh yeah, I really want to do that. But you know, I can do that in the future. But to have like the opportunity right then and there. I'm like, okay, if I say yes, then I actually have to do this. So, and I was just really excited because the two plays I got to be a part of last year, I got to play a Métis character in each of them. And that was my first time getting to play a Métis character, which I was really excited about. So I just really wanted to be a part of this group to, you know, like sort of find what it is that I wanted to write about, because I didn't necessarily come into the creator circle with an idea of like, this is the play that I want to write. So I sort of tried out a bunch of things along the way and just was working on sort of like flexing that or strengthening that writing muscle before I sort of figured out the direction that I wanted to go in and the story that I wanted to tell.
For me, I think it was really instrumental to be sitting around the table with the other playwrights every week. And Emily alluded to this earlier, but we had quite a diverse range of folks in that room. We had, I think our youngest, the youngest participant is in her late 20s, I believe, unless you're younger, Emily. but I thought Mary might have been the youngest. You were Mary, I think, at the youngest. And then we go up to Ryan Black and Mike Laurenchuk, like we've got, who are veterans in the Canadian Indigenous arts scene in film and television. So just getting to sit around the table with all of that experience and learn from everyone and hear their shows as they got pieced together, because we would do a little bit of writing and we'd come together and read it and critique it, provide feedback. And then we'd go away, maybe revise it or write a new section and do the same thing the following week. And so that process, hearing it and seeing it from these folks in different stages of their career was really interesting.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the importance and significance of places like this for Indigenous creatives and Indigenous stories. We've seen a trend and like a turn in the past couple of years of opening up spaces to Indigenous creators to tell their stories. Little Bird on television, there's a lot of different documentaries and things that explore Indigenous stories. Gimli Film Festival, where they have their Winnipeg Indigenous Filmmakers Collective. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head of more stories. I think there's like a horror film called Blood Quantum that's really fun. So, you know, we're starting to see more places embrace and celebrate Indigenous stories and voices. The Creator Circle here is another example of that. I guess just between the two of you, you know, why is it important to have these places and to continue to build opportunities to bring out these stories?
I think there's definitely like in just sort of like the Canadian theater canon or like theater canon of Western theater, there's a lot of stories told by, you know, like old white guys. and there's definitely, I think theaters are realizing the importance of telling Indigenous stories, but for so long, since there weren't opportunities to foster Indigenous playwriting or Indigenous creatives or Indigenous storytelling, how are you going to put on an Indigenous play if there's not enough to choose from? So I think creating these opportunities that create more Indigenous work by Indigenous creators, I think is really important for like bringing more stories to the stage, but also in representing more of what our country looks like.
I would agree with that, Emily. I'm part of a new organization in Winnipeg called Nishtis Collective. And we are a group of all Indigenous women who are revitalizing it works by Indigenous people here and the stories that have been told in Winnipeg for since time immemorial. And so we are, we're just emerging. And what is foundational to who we are and how we're moving forward is that more is more. And so we need more just because, you know, there's one opportunity that doesn't mean everyone's going to get into that opportunity. There's only so many seats. We need more opportunities for folks to get involved because we have such a rich amount of people here in the Indigenous community who are so highly skilled and talented. We have programs like Native Youth Theatre who are bringing up the youth and they get to this point where they're leaving Native Youth Theatre and there's not really a next step for them unless they're going into formal education. And so we hope that at Nishtis Collective, in any event, we hope that we're going to be able to put on more Indigenous shows and take those Indigenous artists and give them the roles that they want to play, not necessarily being typecast as so often Indigenous actors are. And that actually goes as well for artists of all people of color who are artists. You had mentioned Little Bird and Darla Contois, who plays Esther Rosenbaum in the show. I'm happy to say is actually going to be directing the workshop version of my play next week, Love Louie.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. Darla and I worked together a number of years ago. It might have been 10 years ago. I don't remember. But I haven't seen her in a while, so I'm looking forward to reconnecting.
I think it's just really cool to, like you mentioned, more and more and continuing to open up spaces. Because diversity, embracing diversity, especially here in Canada, like there's so many different cultures and peoples here. And Emily, you said it too, that we need to have more stories that reflect that vibrancy here. And for myself, the more times I get to experience a culture or a story of something that maybe I'm not familiar with is just a very informative and exciting experience to be like, wow, that's interesting. That's really exciting. I've never thought about that sort of stuff, or I've never seen it from that sort of perspective. So, you know, yeah, just to kind of reiterate, the more, the better.
More is more.
So kind of following up in that vein, we're wanting to grow these stories and grow these circles for more creators. What are some ways that Indigenous people can do to help, in your opinion, and non-Indigenous folks can help to grow those spaces and support these creators?
I think making the space for these creators to create and ensuring that it's a part of like a theater's mandate or a season, not just in the sense of like, all right, like checking the box, like we've got one play that represents these people in this part of the season, and then one play but sort of in a wish to represent the whole community and see if the whole community, like, or if a lot of the time Indigenous actors or Indigenous stories weren't represented on stage, so why would, on the whole, people who weren't represented or seen in those stories, why would they want to go to the theater and see stories about people that weren't themselves all the time? So I think encouraging new audiences, and not just audiences who are like seeing themselves on stage, but that appreciation across the board of all audiences coming to see stories that reflect themselves and their families, but also stories that reflect people that have completely different experiences, people that aren't themselves. And I think sort of like growing that audience base. And then I think that sort of like all around cultural appreciation, growing that collectively as a society, I think is huge.
What do you think, Victoria?
Yeah, similarly to Emily, I think folks need to get out and experience art. And Winnipeg is such a city of artists and of all kinds. There's always an amazing band playing somewhere. There's always a really cool cultural festival or celebration happening that welcomes people in. There's always plays happening in the city. And I think getting out there and getting involved, whether it's taking a class, taking in the local art that's happening here, visiting Kalmayuk Doing anything that gets you involved in the arts, I think is important, and consuming that art and making your own art and thinking about how you can get involved with the artists in your community to maybe collaborate and make something beautiful together.
Gonna leave all behind to see what new things I can find. One day soon, I'm gonna break free from this cocoon. I'm gonna leave it all behind and let the light deep inside me shine. Fly, 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 fly on eagle wings. I'm gonna leave behind all these foolish things. I'm gonna fly, 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 fly. I'm gonna fly, 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 fly on eagle wings. I'm gonna leave things. Gonna fly, 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 fly. Oh, I'm gonna fly. I'm gonna fly, 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 fly. I'm gonna fly, 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 fly on eagle wings. I'm gonna leave behind all these foolish things. I'm gonna fly, fly. Fly, 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 fly on eagle wings. I'm gonna leave behind all these foolish things. I'm gonna fly, 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 fly. Oh, I'm gonna fly.
Lisa Isakoff. I'm the executive director over a gallery here in Morden. We're very excited. I'm working very hard. It's going to be a big day. So it's starting tomorrow. We're putting a new scarf in the Culture Days colors on Bruce, the Mosasaurus that we have in front of
us. Ooh, yes. I love Bruce.
Oh, he's so handsome. He's such a handsome little Mosasaurus. So it's all going to be like these colors. So it's like pink, blues, and yellows, and some like turquoise and stuff. So I made three scarves. For Bruce, there's a turtle, and then there's a really scary fish in another park.
Oh, Archelon. I think, I'm trying to remember the names off the top of my head. And Xiphactinus, I think, is the name of the fish.
So we wanted to kind of like give them a little sprucing up for Culture Days. So I thought that a scarf would be kind of fun to emulate with that, and give it a little bit more of a pop of color, because it's kind of like looking drab when it's the beginning of fall. So I think it'll be really cute, and he's gonna have it around his neck. It's adorable. And then tomorrow, what we're also going to be doing is basically doing chalk art all day in the gallery outdoors. We have a really big space where we usually have our concerts, and we're going to have one of the schools coming in with grade three, I believe. And they're going to just kind of color in the design. There's going to be some wavy things, some funky things, and they'll be able to just grab a chalk and just go in and have fun. We're also having a little mini market inside the gallery with a couple of vendors from local companies. And then what I'm currently working on is our big new mural at the gallery.
Ooh, very exciting.
Painting clothes. It's going to be so beautiful. It's going to be gorgeous. So I'm very
awesome.
Excited. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll definitely want to get a little bit more in depth in what this week's going to look like. But before we get there, how about we just explore a little bit about what the Pembina Hills Art Council is, and what's it all about?
My favorite question. Just like that TikTok. Oh, that's my favorite question. So we are the probably the one of the biggest galleries down here in the Pembina Valley South. We have lots of programming for different ages. We have the biggest ceramic program here too. So we have a lot of artists coming through, taking courses, learning new things, or even just using our studios to kind of like do their own thing, create their own products and have fun and explore creativity. And we have a main big gallery downstairs. We have a couple of floors. So we have two floors, main gallery, plus a big gift shop with about 20 vendors, all local. And the big gallery, we usually have about two or three exhibitions throughout. It's one exhibition per month. And right now we have Glenn Crichel's revival exhibition, and it's large scale landscapes. It's very beautiful.
Wow, very gorgeous. That's exciting. I really like that, you know, having opportunities for people to come in, learn a little bit, take some classes, ceramics and everything. You know, now that I'm about to hit 30 this year. So like one thing I've been finding is arts and crafts is so much fun. Like when I'm getting together with a bunch of people for Christmas and then we had like a winter solstice party, we made a bunch of ornaments for the tree. Like getting involved and getting in arts and crafts, I think just it's something that really enhances life. Yeah. And so organizations and things that like the Pembina Hills Arts Council, the stuff that you're doing, I think is really important in helping foster creativity and engage imagination within the community.
And you get to express so much. And now that I'm executive director, I got to control a little bit more of what we bring forth. And I've been envisioning to just almost every month, every 2 weeks even, to have a very different thing from what we usually are offering. So for example, right now I'm working on our ceramic painting class. So we have a lot of discarded items that people just forget about after their classes, or they just don't want to work on it anymore. So I have boxes in our basement just filled with bisqued items, and they're gorgeous, beautiful, but they don't have a home. So I decided, let's just do a little class and people can just come in, paint. We will then put them in the kiln, fire them, do the whole process. And then a week later, they'll come to pick up a new piece for their home.
Hey, and it's a great way to like reuse stuff. Like instead of just tossing it out, you're repurposing it. You're giving it a new opportunity.
Exactly. I'm very, very stoked. So I'm just excited to kind of bring different aspects of what we know what works and we know what's popular, but now it's kind of like, all right, what else can we introduce? What else can we do? What else can we bring as another hobby as we're coming into fall and winter? How can we bring people back to the gallery and give them the opportunity to really express their creativity?
Starting this Friday and kind of going through next week is Culture Days. Mm-hmm. What exactly is Culture Days for someone who's maybe, you know, from Winnipeg and just learning about some of the things that are happening more, or someone who's moving to the community for the first time, or, you know, maybe they're immigrating, they're looking at new communities that they want to make their permanent home, and they hear about this event, and I know Morden has a ton of really cool events, but this one, Culture Days, what's going on? What is it?
Wow. So since last year, we kind of been thinking about, okay, how can we engage with more local businesses and different community centers around here, and how can we bring people to them, especially because there is a lot of immigration in the Morden-Winkler area. So we want to bring new faces and introduce them to also new businesses. For example, there's Soulful Yoga Studio. They just opened up maybe 2 or 3 months ago. Immigrant family, they moved out here. It's gorgeous. It's right behind the gallery too. So it's like next to our Shoppers. If you know where it is, people from Morden, that's great. Just go there. She's so delightful. And they're hosting like an actual yoga class for the community for free.
Ooh, that's fun.
And a dance class too. So there's going to be half yoga, half dance class. All for free. We're going to have in the White Cap Cafe, latte art classes, or even how to like brew at home with like different techniques and things like that. We're doing a Dutch Blitz tournament game night. A stroll through time. That's going to be really fun because we have a lot of heritage buildings around here in Morden. So there's going to be an actual tour coming to take you through the history of the town. What are all these different buildings and the history behind it? And I think that it's going to be really interesting for people that are new and they would like to learn a little bit more about the town. Cause sure, you can come and look around and whatever and read the little plaque, but it's so much more engaging when somebody tells you like a very personal story or like a connection that they have for this. So I'm really excited because I think it will just really broaden our reach. And new people, when they come in and they see that we have such a big variety of things that we're doing, and we're not just famous for corn and apple, but we also have all of this other activities that we have throughout the year. I think it'll be really cool.
We're talking about the heritage buildings, like the clock tower and everything like that, but just walking down the main strip in Morden, you get to experience this kind of old-timey feel would be the right word, but it's just so fun and rustic. Like Morden's been featured in like films and stuff now. So like it's a really cool opportunity.
Yes, pumpkin spice everything.
Exactly. And like, it's not just that, like, it's, you know, you have these buildings and the people who help build and become Morden in the community. But, you know, there's also like the older history aspect with the fossils, the mosasaurs, the archosaurs, everything like there.
I agree. It's going to be really exciting. And actually, there's also, I'm Jewish, as you can see by my necklace. And when I moved out here, I was really kind of looking forward to see if there was any Jewish families around here too, to kind of connect myself to. I lived in Winnipeg before and we had the Jewish community out there. So that was really kind of encouraging as someone that just immigrated here from Israel. So when I moved out here, I'm like, I need to find my people. And in Winkler, they have a monument to all the Jewish families that used to live there back in the 19th century. And out here in Morden, there used to be like a clothing store by the Rabinovich family. And we actually are featuring an exhibition with Celia, one of the descendants, a show next month with photographs and the history of the Jewish communities in Morden. Mind-blowing.
That's one thing, like, learning about the history of it, like, the history of the Jewish people who helped build Morden to, like, get it off the ground to kind of become what it is.
Yeah. So I just got so inspired because I didn't think that moving to such a small town, that we will find any remnants of Jewish life out here, but there are, and I just get so happy. Like, I'll do a little happy dance every time I find another cornerstone.
Well, it's a reflection of, you know, the diversity and peoples that have, you know, helped create Morden and are living in Morden today. The number of families, you know, learning about Morden's immigration program, the amount of people around the world who know about Morden and are choosing Morden as a place to live. And, you know, it's just an opportunity to grow. You're mentioning, you know, immigrant businesses and stuff at there. Like, Culture Days is a great opportunity for someone to check out the local businesses and the local vendors. But, you know, maybe it's an opportunity also for them to become inspired, to be like, I want to start a business here. I want to grow my family here in Morden. And it just opens up a plethora of opportunities within the community.
Yeah, I agree. And then collaborating with regional connections on this is one of the biggest things. I think that they have done such an extravagant work with, first of all, reaching out to us and working with us to create this week of full of free activities. On the Friday, when it's our closing time, like our closing day, we're having the fun extravaganza at the Morden Activity Center. And we're going to have activities from, I believe, like 5 until 9 p.m. Calligraphy, dance. We're going to have some shuffle games and different games. I think we're going to even have badminton, making pinatas, face paints, origami, filmmaking workshops. There's going to be another free yoga, a cafe, and you can even grab, I believe we also have a couple of food trucks coming in as well.
Ooh, so we always love food trucks.
We always love the food trucks, guys. Like, this is Morden. I think we have so many food trucks, like way more than people. So it's going to be really exciting to kind of see how many people are coming together for this, because we know, oh, here, 5 to 8 p.m., sorry. It's going to be very exciting to just meeting new people, seeing new faces, and feeling accepted in a community that is so diverse. Yeah, and just get to know new friends. That's also the inspiring portion of it. When you're new, it's really hard to make new friends in a small town. And having these kind of events where culture is celebrated and people are invited to come and participate, it just really brings it all together for me.
What are some other things people can expect and enjoy in this upcoming event?
Let me check my really big poster. So we're going to have the chalk art tomorrow, our mural unveiling. Throughout the week, from Friday till next Friday, the Morden Library is also going to be hosting activities basically all day long, and they're for kids. The Canadian Fossil Discovery Center is offering free entrance on Sunday and Monday, September 24th to the 25th.
People should definitely take advantage of that. I love the museum.
It's the best. And just go take a picture with Bruce's skeleton. It's so fun. And I think the other one is Mary or Mom?
Susie.
There you go.
Yes. And then they have like an even smaller Carisiodon. Oh, I think it's Carisiodon Orthodon. Oh, no, I can't remember. Oh, no.
It's the names. I can't remember names whatsoever. It's the worst. I remember faces. Names are so hard for me. And then on Sunday, and make sure you sign up for this, guys, the Super Pets Movie Stardust drive-in. So we're going to screen Super Pets. We all love movies. We all love cartoons, and we love kids' movies. So it's at the big Stardust drive-in in Morden, and we're going to have trunk or treats. So y'all are going to get some sweets. And then at 8:15, we're going to start the screen of the movie. Registration is required, and it is just on the City of Morden website. What else are we going to do? Oh, rendezvous on Wednesday. Every Wednesday, rendezvous hosts open mic. So this one is going to be a little bit more closer to home. We're once again are inviting people from different communities to come and kind of, you know, show us your songs, like, you know, show us what you like, not necessarily just what we hear all the time. Let's explore something different. And I think that that's what rendezvous is really good about, that they really are bringing a lot of people together. And I used to work there too. So every Wednesday would be so special to hear the music live and hearing new people and new talents coming through. And then on Thursday, we're going to have the Morden Farmers Market.
Nice. And it's just a perfect time of year to get some of those like last veggies and things before, you know, we start. Manitoba's that type of province where you never know. It could hit, snow could hit us at any moment.
You've got to be prepared. And I'm not prepared, but I would love to have some. I love to get all the new gourds that they bring. They sometimes like decorative gourds and stuff or decorative corn. So I can't wait to get some so we can decorate the gallery.
So aesthetic.
Honey, local honey is the best thing ever. If you have allergies, it actually really helps. Yes, especially with all the harvesting that they're doing right now. So I'm super excited. It's going to be really fun. We've been working really hard on this. And shout out to Lily Crichel. She's from City of Morden. And we've been working hard together on really getting it all, I don't know the words.
Working cohesively, organized.
Yes. And she's been my rock throughout all of this. She has so many great ideas and she knows everyone in the community too. So it's been good for me since I'm so new here and I don't know a lot of people from here just yet. So Lily has been really connecting me to all of these organizations. And now we're all kind of like, oh my God, like we're all immigrants. We're all from different corners of the world. I'm from Israel. One of the, I believe, Katya from Regional Connections is somewhere from the former USSR as well. Lily is also, she lived all across the world. So we're all kind of like, oh my God, look at us all together in this small town, creating this huge event that is just going to really bring people together. So it's just, I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Email me. Email me, walk into the gallery and be like, I want to be a part of this and I'll grab your information. I'm available all the time. And I would just love to always find new people to collaborate with. It'll be the best. So just admin@pembinahillsarts.com. Lots of S's. That's why I'm emphasizing it. You're like, hey, Lisa, we want to work with you. I'll be like, sounds good. What do you need?
Well, I'm just excited to see how this event, you know, goes this year and continues to grow as Morden just becomes more and more diverse and continuing to be this place where people want to come, they want to build businesses, and they want to grow families.
Yes, absolutely. That's all where we are. That's all what we are about.
Is there any other projects or initiatives that the Pembina Hills Art Council is going to be hosting over the next coming months?
Oh man, I need to open up my calendar because we have lots of things coming along. We have our holiday craft sale coming up soon in December. We have lots of our fall programming coming along with like kids classes, adult classes. We have a knitting class. If you've ever wondered how to knit,
that sounds like a lot of fun.
It is, because I know that I've had a lot of troubles just using YouTube to teach me. But having an actual person who knows what they're doing.
So much easier. So much easier.
We have our monthly rainbow game nights that we're hosting on Wednesdays of the third month. We just had one yesterday, and it's for our rainbow community. They're always welcomed out here for us. What else? Mini markets are basically once a month thing. We usually kind of try to bring a lot of new vendors to explore and kind of share their, you know, their talents with us. And then if you were interested by Celia's work with the Jewish community here in Morden, which I'm super excited to see in person. I mean, I'm going to be installing it, but it will be fun to actually see it finally in person and not just like hear about it for the last year. Our opening reception is on Tuesday, October 3rd from 5 to 7. And she'll be sharing some personal stories from her family too and their life here in Morden, which is something I'm very excited about. But yeah, that's kind of it for now. I think we're just trying to slow down for winter and seeing what we're going to hit Morden up with next year.
Amazing. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me about this really cool event happening in Morden. Just to kind of wrap things up, what's happening in Morden and where can people go to find out more?
Culture Day Morden is going to start tomorrow, September 22nd, and it's going to run through all the way to September 29th. If you're wondering about any details, you can either go to mymorden.com for all the information, or just look us up also on Instagram, Pembina Hills Arts. We also have all the information on our page.
Hey, thanks for listening. Make sure you tune in every Tuesday for more stories from your community. And if you like what you heard, make sure you check out UTalk at u-channel.ca. I'm Ryan Funk. This was UTalk. And have yourself a good one.
I could be your mouth, you could be my flame. Just take me far away from here. If you be my Saturn, I could be your rings. Just take me far away from here. Take me far away. Take me to another planet. We should pop another, we should love each other. But I would rather, lips on the bottle, I'm on the throttle. More smoke, more drink, I don't wanna remember my name. It takes too much these days, I can't catch a buzz this way. I don't wanna feel my fate. I could be your mouth, you could be my flame. Just take me far away from here. If you be my Saturn, I could be your rings. Just take me far away from here. Take me far away. Strawberry breeze blows easily. Finally free. Forgive your enemies. Slow down. Got myself. I was so down. Really had my hopes up. I feel lost. I wish I could sleep enough to feel rested. I wish I could visit, but I get distracted. Break it all down into fractions. Flowery patterns, so fractal. Cosmos, psychos, galaxies in my bones. Trying to find my own wandering soul. I go, you go. Can we go somewhere? Get me lost in space. I don't care. As long as I'm not here. As long as I'm not here. I could be your mouth, you could be my flame. Just take me far away from here. If you be my Saturn, I could be your rain. Just take me far away from here. Take me far away.